You guys, this is my leak and this is my podcast. Today's episode is a heartfelt question from a listener in her mid-30s who is struggling to expand her network and feels stuck despite her best efforts. She feels like she's done everything. She's reached out on social media. She's been to conferences, networking events, you name it. She wants to surround herself with the right people. We're going to listen to her letter, and then I'm going to go through my process of how I break these sort of letters down, what stands out to me, and then I'm going to give some ideas, some blind spots on what I think might be some help in this situation. So let's get started. Hi, my leak. Thank you for the platform you have created that allows Black women a safe space to reflect and grow. I'm writing to expand more on the question I asked about growing my network and not making progress with my peers. To give more context, I am in my mid-30s and come from a lower class background. I'm somewhat estranged from most of my family, and I lost my mother in 2018. I'm working to break generational curses, and I know that involves having the right people around you. I go to happy hours, networking events, conferences, and reach out to people in Facebook groups with like-minded interests, but people don't seem to be interested in moving beyond small talk. The few people I have made connections with seem to only want to stay in contact if I can help them with something, like me moving to a new country and them wanting to use my place as a way to not pay for a hotel. I will admit that I went through an ugly duckling phase in high school and isolated myself due to bullying and colorism, but I want to get back out there and rebuild a life with healthy relationships. I'm not sure if it's the way I dress or style myself, my nonverbal communication, my responses in conversation. I've been excluded so much, I know it's me and not them, but how do I go about correcting myself? I'm smart, a great friend, been to some therapy, and I feel this is the only thing stopping me from reaching my full potential. I've asked for feedback from people, but they are too nice to tell me the truth or don't respond to my emails. Where does someone go to fix their social skills? Any direction or guidance would be greatly appreciated. Okay, so I wrote the listener back to dig a little deeper into a few things. So I asked, you know, what do you mean by lower class background? Because I know that can mean different things for different people. I asked, when you say somewhat estranged from most of my family, what does that mean? I sent my condolences for the loss of her mother. And I asked if she felt supported during this loss. And if so, by who? I also wanted to know, who do you consider the right people? Another question I asked is, when you say people only want to stay in contact for help, what kind of help are you offering? Asked a little bit about the ugly duckling phase. What was that like? And if she sees any parallels between those high school years and her time in her life right now in her mid-30s, and how much therapy is quote-unquote some therapy. So she wrote me back, and I'm going to give you a summary of her answers to just color her letter a little bit more, and then we'll get into some tips, suggestions, and some thoughts that I had about this letter. So she wrote back, and she said that when it came to sort of growing up low income, I was under the impression that people from different economic categories had certain habits or ignorances. She said she grew up in public housing and her mother tried to expose her to different types of people through Girl Scouts and sports, but she was more focused on being with whoever accepted her. And she appreciates them being welcoming, but they were not the most progressive crowds. And she feels like she picked up some habits that she's had to work hard to unlearn. As for her family setup, she feels really close with one sister. She is the youngest, and her older sisters have responsibilities, they have children, and they are financially strapped. She has been helping them with their bills. And up until last year, late last year, she told them, come the new year, I'm just not going to be able to do that. I mean, we all know the way the economy is going. And she feels like her words got twisted, big family fallout. And she says, this is after years of turmoil and some physical altercations that she's gotten into with her older sisters and their children. As for her mom, she was the primary caregiver. She didn't get much help from her sisters. And she turned to some of those friendships that she believes were toxic as a distraction from her experience. She knows they weren't good for her, but she said it was better than having no one at that time. Now she doesn't talk to those people anymore, and she's just keeping to herself. When it comes to the right people, she says these are people who are happy and self-aware, people that structure their lives to reach their full potential and inspire that in others, people who value human connection and have empathy for everyone around them, those who aren't allowing a victim mentality to weigh them down, but are creating environments that are optimistic and are finding solutions. And so she says, these are people who have passion and are protecting their peace. If she notices a woman that's confident, put together, upbeat, and seems genuine, she's interested to see if they could be friends. And as for the help that she's, what kind of help she's offering, she says, I haven't offered help. But if someone sees that they can benefit from me in some way, they try to position themselves in my life. To give an example, I had a neighbor who I met while walking our dogs. She seemed annoyed with me, but our dogs get along. It came up in small talk that I was moving abroad, and she suddenly became friendly and started inviting me to dinner. And she brought up flying overseas with me to help me move. When I didn't entertain her suggestions, she began avoiding me. And for the ugly duckling phase, she says when she was started high school, she was a tomboy, didn't wear makeup or extensions. She was seen as unattractive, and boys make comments to their friends and to her in front of her math class that she was the most unattractive girl in the class. The few friends I had distanced themselves from me out of embarrassment or due to my somber mood most days. This causes me to question if my looks are the reason people have an aversion to me. So this is my stab at this. And I'll back into this by starting with the answer. I suggest a therapist, and you knew I was going to say that, seeing a therapist, and I'm even going to add a life or relationship coach to up the ante on this and give some actionable steps. I think a therapist would be great to dig into a lot of the context that you shared. Even things like age, right? Mid-30s, where you are in your life, where you believe you should be, where you don't think you are, and just where societal expectations. I felt like going to therapy really helped me get a handle on my life's timing. I think a therapist will be able to help with the background, the high school story that you shared, what those kids did to you that was not cool, your family dynamics, paying your sister's bills, fighting with them and their children, the grief that you experienced around your mother's passing, the friends that you chose to lean on in your hardest moment, and so much more. That's a therapist's job. And an added boost could be a good coach who could further assist you. And so what I've learned about coaches is that, you know, once you have a goal and yours seems so clear, you want to grow your network and make progress with your peers. Now, something I want to tap back into as it relates to therapy. Sometimes I find that we will lean on a therapist in times of crisis. And I just want to share my personal experience of just ongoing therapy and the immense skill building that has come from going and building skills when I'm not in crisis or when I'm not really pressed for time to get something. And so linking that to parenting, surprise, surprise, you know, it's similar to when I'm with my kids, right? Like if my son is throwing a tantrum or screaming or yelling or whatever, the lesson will press down further outside of the moment. You know, trying to teach him about something or build skills in the moment, you know, it's like all I'm doing in that moment is putting the fire out. And I got that from my friend, Dr. Becky, when she says, you know, a lot of times we are just putting the fire out, but what about fireproofing the house? And that is what I think, you know, the adult version of going to therapy and skill building is fireproofing the house. And so I had lots of thoughts as I read this, and I want to zero in on the one that was most concerning that I circled and highlighted with like question marks and exclamation marks when you talked about the few people that you connected with. So you told me all the things that you've done, the networking, the tapping in on Facebook, you know, you've done these things, but the few people that you've connected with only, that word stuck out to me, want to stay in contact if I can help them with something. Like you move into the new country and them wanting to use my place to not pay for a hotel. And so then when I ask you, well, what is the help that you offer? Because if people only are staying in touch with you for what you can do, what is it that they know you do off the top? And then you said, I haven't offered any help. But if someone sees that they can benefit from me, they will try to position themselves in my life. And so this is where the lights went off for me. And I wondered if there was a connection between your experiences with your sisters where you have taken care of them and that is what you do, and how that life experience presents in your friendships, which is why I said therapy for sure. Because it is really easy to apply our life experience, our life experiences, our past to a lot of things. Ask me how I know. And so with the neighbor, you both had small talk until you moved away with it. And so you were saying, you know, nothing moves past small talk. Once you start talking about small talk, is going to be, how's the weather? You know, is this your first time visiting New York City? Is the soup here good? That's going to be small talk. So you moved away from the small talk and began to reveal yourself in a little bit more depth that you're moving to another country. How exciting. You know, what a, in that revelation, wow, what a, I mean, to pick up and move to another country. Wow. Just want to say that. And so you said the neighbor, when you said seemed annoyed, I wasn't there. I didn't see it. But when you say seem, it lets me know that you aren't 100% sure she was annoyed with you. It just, it seemed like it. Maybe she was, maybe she wasn't. Maybe she was more reserved. I mean, I don't have a pet, but I do see people grumpily walking their dogs in the morning in the cold or just scrambling out of bed, haven't had their coffee. And so I've met plenty of great people who maybe don't initially present, you know, maybe they're not coming off as their friendliest at 6 a.m. or whatever time folks are out here walking these dogs. So once you revealed something that allowed her to get to know you better, she invited you out to get to know her better. You know, learning that someone would pick up and move out of the country is exciting and inspiring. And when she offered to help you move, I wondered, as someone who has had a life experience of being the main source of help for, as the youngest, your older sisters, the caregiver of your mother, I wondered if you recognized help, genuine help. I wondered if you recognized what building a new friendship looked like. I don't know. But I know that there are professionals, therapists, coaches, people who do this day in and day out that could help you with that. And so I wanted to share a quick story with you that has some parallels, but I thought of it as I read this letter and as I got to that part, because I remember a time in my life when I became more successful with my last business. Listen, if it seemed to me like men were falling into my lap like apples through my 20s and early 30s, because I was in my early 30s when I started this business. But like for most of my 20s, dating seemed difficult. And I remember, you know, I had like my last like major relationship broke up because the person said, you know, they were worried I wasn't going to be anything. And, you know, all of a sudden, as these men are coming around, I have an issue, you know, why now? And I know in my past experience with someone who dumped me because they were worried I wasn't going to be anything professionally, this idea that now men are quote unquote attracted to me because I have a little bit more. Now you want to talk to me? And now I'm just like, I ain't feeling nobody. And I remember my therapist saying to me, well, success is attractive. And so she kind of laid a similar story on me that, you know, the one that I shared with you, that someone meeting me and hearing my story could find that attractive. And that because someone is attracted to you doesn't necessarily mean they're out to use you. And it got me to thinking, well, maybe successful people have healthy self-esteem and confidence. And maybe it's a sign that they pursue what they want in life. That's attractive. Maybe it shows that they're independent, that they value connections and want to reach their full potential. That's attractive. And I wondered if that's what the neighbor saw in you or what some of the others see in you versus some of those other data points that you shared with me, you know? And that is just something that I wanted to connect, that it is okay for someone to want to be connected with you or find you more attractive because of the choices that you have made in your life, all things considered. You're doing well. And so I want to leave you with some ideas to consider on this journey. I want you to try to avoid making up stories. I was recently reading a book by Martha Beck, and somewhere in it, she says, the mind makes up stories for what it does not understand. And so if you don't know, I want you to seek more understanding. And a tip that I've gotten from this book by Martha Beck is to dissolve the thought. And maybe dissolve it until you can better understand the situation. And so I read up, I'm going to hop the tracks for just a second. I read up on why self-awareness can be elusive. And there's a social scientist named Chris, and the last name is difficult. I'll put it in the notes. Arduous is how it seems. But he wrote this article back in the 90s for Harvard Business Review titled Teaching Smart People How to Learn. And I thought about you because you told me you're smart. You're a great friend. And sometimes a lot of us, he coined this term, these terms, single loop learning and double loop learning, to distinguish how some of us who are great at our jobs or do well within one sector of our lives get stuck in single loop learning. His analogy is that a thermostat that automatically turns on the heat whenever the temperature in the room drops below 68 degrees is a good example of single loop learning. So that's like your Nest or whatever your modern digital thermostat is. But he says, a thermostat that could ask, why am I set at 68 degrees? And then explore whether or not some other temperature might be more economical to achieve the goal of heating the room, that would be engaging in double loop learning. And so he continues that highly skilled professionals are frequently very good at single loop learning. They spent so much of their lives learning or acquiring academic credentials, mastering one or a number of intellectual disciplines, and applying those disciplines to solve real world problems. It sounds like so much of what you've done. And he says, this very fact helps explain why most of us hardcore professionals and those who have, you know, succeeded beyond what anyone expected of us, why we can often be bad at double loop learning, you know? And then this is the thing that I love so much. He says, you know, put simply, when you are almost always, when you're like this single loop learner, you're almost always successful at what you do. And you don't experience a ton of failure in that space. And so because you have seldom failed in that space, you haven't really learned how to learn from failure. And so he says that by having a more textured understanding of our problems. And so that's what I'm offering when I say, you know, try not to make things up. Aim for a more textured understanding of what you're going through. So another thought, some idea to consider, our stories are data points that help us understand who we are. They don't necessarily tell the full story or the future of who we are or who we will become. So challenging upbringings are a part of your story. They are not the story. And then I wanted to give some potential blind spots because I love y'all. I love y'all and I see y'all out and about. And I'm wondering if a blind spot for you or anyone listening might be scrolling your phone while somebody's talking. Somebody's talking and you're on your phone, you're checking your watch, your phone's dinging, you're checking it, and it's difficult to connect with someone when you are doing something like that. And I'm sharing that because I know people do that unconsciously. And I do that whenever I'm like in a comfortable setup, you know, I sometimes have to remind myself not to do that. If you are on the lookout for something, sometimes I may have a lunch and I'm expecting a call from someone or to hear back from my doctor or the, you know, my car is in the shop or something like that. I'll be like, hey, I'm gonna give a heads up. I'm on the lookout for a call, but lock in. Tune in, put your phone away. And then something else I'm going to tell y'all. Take those earbuds out. I see y'all wearing the earbuds like outfits. Take the earbuds out. I know sometimes they feel like security and I love having mine in, especially when I'm traveling. I don't really want to chat. I'm tired and I love the like noise canceling. But if you want to meet people, take them out if you are not using them. And or just limit how much you're going to be wearing your earbuds. I want you to do more things in person, even more things in person. It's so easy to feel like we're in the mix these days, but take things offline. Go out, sit at the bar, go have dinner, you know, go places, go to a museum, challenge yourself, push yourself to go to unfamiliar environments. Because then it almost forces you to ask for something, which is where I get into fake it. Getting comfortable in new environments only sometimes feels good at first. You know, I've rarely walked into a space I've wanted to be in and thought, oh, yes, I belong here. I haven't always sat down with a group of women I admire and thought, this is my group. I belong here. What I have done is attempt to read the room. I'll see what others are having. And I might even ask what they might suggest for me. I'll say something like, oh my gosh, this place is amazing. What do you love here? And they might say, oh girl, you have to try the such and such. And it's not being fake as much as I'm going along and pushing myself outside of my comfort zone. And I may not feel like I belong in the moment, but the truth is I belong everywhere. And so as we get out of here, I want to remind you that building skills can be challenging and growing your network is much more than just attending events and reaching out online. It's about understanding ourselves and making sense of our history, cultivating genuine interactions, and getting a more textured understanding of the nuances of human relationships. And dear listener, I want you to know that improving social skills and deepening connections begins with understanding your self-worth and embracing the value you bring to every interaction. Those data points you shared have value, and I hope you remember that when you engage with those you refer to as the right people. Whether you go to therapy, find a coach, or do self-guided learning, there are a myriad of ways to enhance your social skills and enrich your personal life. And I want to encourage everyone listening to reflect on their own social skills. Think about how you can be more present, empathetic, and open to the experiences of those around you. You never know what the person on the other side of these conversations has been through. And remember that someone's struggles and life experiences can also add value to your life. If you have questions or you want my take on something, please reach out to me through the form on my website, mytaughtyou.com. I'm here to help. Tell me what you think about this one via social. Thank you for listening. And until next time, keep striving to build those bridges that connect us all. Ciao.